Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You like my navy hat? Like my hat? I'm very proud to wear this hat, but I'm not the one who earned it. Matthew did. Matthew did the work needed to become a sailor so I could wear this hat. Matthew did what was needed so that I could have... By the way, if you don't know, Matthew is my son. That's me and my boy. Matthew did what was needed so that I could have the joy and the honor and the right to wear this hat. I get the benefit of the work that Matthew did. I bring up the Navy because in two of the three readings today, we have people linked with boats or boats themselves referred to. I'm going to set the hat, hopefully, where you can see it. Kind of more or less. I don't know if it's going to stay there, but anyway, there it is. In the Old Testament reading from today, after the flood and after the ark had come to rest and all the animals were let out of the ark, God speaks to Noah and his sons and makes a covenant. He makes a promise. Now, we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school earlier today. He makes a promise regarding the rainbow, that he will never again destroy all the earth with water. And that promise is seen in the rainbow. God said that the rainbow would be the sign itself. That would be the sign, again, that he would never destroy all the earth by flood. It's a most fascinating promise because of who. Of who God made the promise with. God made that covenant with all life. All living creatures on earth, not just man. Noah and his sons were witnesses to God's covenant, but they were not the exclusive recipients. This covenant is one that speaks of God's universal goodness, regardless of what a man does or what man himself does or doesn't do. And God showed that his goodness is based solely on his love and his action by having saved Noah and his family and the animals through the flood within the ark. I want you to listen again to some of the words that God said. And I want you to marvel. Just think about his promises. God says, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you. The birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood, God said. This is the sign of the covenant I am making between you, between me and you, and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Important to take note that this covenant does not promise that there will never again be any floods, but only that all life will never again be wiped from the earth through a flood. And the witnesses to God's promises are Noah and his family, those whom God saved through the flood. Now we, like Noah and sons, are witnesses. We are witnesses of the covenant God makes with us when we go through the waters of baptism in church. Now, the church itself has been referred to as the Ark of Salvation. That's because of what God did in saving Noah, his family, and the animals. In fact, the part of the church where you all sit is called the nave. And that comes from the Latin, for ship. The church is the ark, or the ship of God, that saves everyone who takes refuge in it. Remember also that God is the one who sealed the door for Noah on the ark from the outside, and in doing so, kept everyone inside safe through the disaster that was about to be all around. The destruction that God brought by the flood was kept outside the ark, and those inside the ark were saved. The same is true with the church of Jesus Christ. Those in the church are kept safe through the blood of Jesus from the wrath of God all around. That safety is poured on us in our baptism, which gives us entrance into the church. In the ark of the church, we are saved in order that we might give witness to God's grace. Just as Noah and the son and his sons were witnesses of God's covenant of promise with who? With all life on earth. Though there be disaster and destruction all around the ship, all around the church, though people around are perishing, though calamity may take what seem to be innocent lives, through all of that, God in his grace saves the church and everyone in it. Again, in one way, that reminds me of my Navy hat. I didn't earn that hat, but I get to wear it because of what my son did. We are in the church because of what God's son did. We didn't earn passage or pay for passage into this ship. Jesus did that by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. And that again, think about that, that again speaks of God's universal goodness. No one is excluded who trusts in Jesus for the work he did by his crucifixion and rising to new life. No one. Now, it is interesting to contrast Noah, who was saved from worldwide disaster by being sealed in the ark through God's hand, with the disciples in the gospel lesson, who were in their boat and in trouble from a storm on the lake. What happens? Jesus comes to his men. Jesus comes to his men, and he brings safety from outside into the disciples' boat. That's a great illustration of God's grace being external to us and coming to us. He comes to us, and he saves us in Christ. Again, a boat is used by God to bring safety to those in it. In Noah's case, God sealed them safely inside before disaster strikes. In the gospel, Christ comes through the midst of disaster to bring safety to those in peril. Both of these things are God's actions of grace. Now, the hymn we just sang has these lyrics: "Praise the one who preached the gospel, healing every dread disease, calming storms and feeding thousands." Not only does Jesus bring what's needed to the disciples in their boat, but also what's needed in the lives of the people in Gennesaret. Into the midst of the disaster of sickness, Jesus comes with healing and peace and comfort. God doesn't always stop the disaster, but he's always present in the midst of it. God doesn't always stop the disaster, but he is always, always present in the midst of it. This is a reminder for us. Like Noah and sons, we too are witnesses of the fullness of God's peace through disaster. Not that God takes away disaster, like we said, but we are witnesses to the fact that we are never, never alone in the midst of it. Our lives testify to that as we live, as you and I live in the fullness of God's grace that has come to us from outside of us by the cross of Jesus Christ. Regardless of the disaster going on around us, or regardless of the disasters in our own lives, those who are in God's boat through the blood of Jesus Christ from the cross always, always, always have His presence with them. And God's universal goodness, His peace and presence are for everyone. Think of your friends. Think of friends that you have that are facing difficulties, things that are on our prayer list, things that perhaps we may even be unaware of in the lives of our friends that are causing them pain or grief, the storms that they're going through. They would benefit from your witness to God's comfort and God's peace. They're the ones who need to see in the power of the peace of God that Jesus brings into the little boats of your life and my life. Over 200 years ago, a man named Robert Fulton designed a revolutionary boat. It wasn't propelled by sail or oar or pole or any other means or method ever used before in all of history. His boat would be propelled by steam power. It would be a steamboat. By the way, Matthew likes to remind me and anybody who'll talk to him about it that a submarine basically has the same basic technology as this to move through the water. The difference is that to make steam, rather than use fire, they use a hot rock, nuclear power. That's what they use to boil water. Anyway, Fulton, when he announced his plans, people laughed. Do you remember what they called it? Fulton's Folly, that's right. But then came the day for the launching of his boat. It was called the Clermont, by the way. When Fulton's Folly began to make its way up the Hudson River, pushing forward against the current of that mighty river on its own power, well, those laughs quickly died down. Everyone began to marvel at Fulton's great wisdom when the Clermont demonstrated her new form of power again and again and again. God's power. God's power for His ark, the church, rests in the cross of Christ alone. God designed the church so that only by the power of Jesus' death and resurrection would the church be able to sail against the tide of evil and disaster and destruction that's all around the church in this world. That's why we seek to bring people into the boat, into the church, so that they may have the same promise of peace, the same promise of safety, the same promise of security that comes from outside of us, that comes to us from God. There is only one power that can stand against the evil in this world, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. Again, in our study on Revelation, we're looking at how destruction comes to much of the earth, and yet, again, there is only one power that can stand against the evil of this world, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ, the power of that, is not something of our own making or doing. It comes to us. It comes from outside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit as God's free gift, pure gift. He alone gives all that's needed for the ark of the church to ride safely through the often terrifying waters of this world. We have the same God who put Noah into his ark, protecting us. We also, like the disciples, have Jesus Christ come into our boats and give us God's promise of salvation from outside of ourselves to protect us. And we tell others of the benefit of this boat, the church. We tell them in order that they may also be saved. Remember that water which can bring a flood of disaster, is also that which brings and delivers to us the saving flood of new life through baptism. Once more, I'm reminded of my Navy hat, which I didn't earn. Baptism grants us a safety and a protection we didn't earn. But it is ours. We possess it nonetheless. It's ours through God's Son, Jesus Christ, coming to us and pouring out on us the fullness of God's grace, which is our security and the security of all life in this world, as He promised. Remember, God doesn't always stop to the disaster, but He is always, by the power of the Holy Spirit, present with us in the midst of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.